Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Sunday, September 24th episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host. The Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us over at christianpodcastcommunity.org. A lot of great listening over there, over 60 well-curated podcasts, wide variety of topics tackled from a biblical worldview. So definitely worth your time to get over there and look around. I will guarantee you, you're going to find something you want to listen to, and there's a very good chance you're going to find more to listen to than you actually have time to listen to it in. I know that's what happened to me. So definitely worth your while to get over there. I want to continue to point you to the next to last link in my show notes. Those are for the Vail Valley Baptist Church Give, Send, Go campaign. We are striving to rapidly pay off our mortgage so we can commence establishment of a Christian classic education-based school to provide a trustworthy alternative here within our community. So go ahead and click on the link, take a read. Pastor Jay's provided very thorough description of what we're trying to do, where we're trying to go with this. And then we would ask three things of you. We'd ask you to pray for us. We'd ask you to prayerfully consider giving to us. And we'd ask you to pass that link along so others can do the same. All right. Well, with it being a Sunday, we're just going to do our Bible reading. And needless to say, I'm recording this Saturday night because I'm preaching tomorrow morning. And what I do want to let you know, we will be streaming in the morning. It'll be 10:30 a.m. Arizona time. It'll be 1:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. We stream at Vail Valley Baptist Church on Facebook, and then we stream at VVB Church on Twitter or X, whatever, X or whatever you want to call that. The thing that used to be Twitter, formerly Twitter, like what was Prince, the artist that was formerly called Prince or whatever, however he did that. So you can find us streaming over there. Again, we would love to have you come join us physically and join us in worship with us. But if you are unable to do so, please join us on the live stream. If you don't have another church to go to, you don't have your own church to go to, obviously we would prefer that you worship with the body believers, whether it's us or somebody else, and preferably a solid group. But if you can't, please join us on the live stream. We would love to have you. And of course, it would be a huge answer to our prayers if you would come join us in person, if that is a possibility. All right. Well, let's go ahead and open up. We're going to open up with the first day morning prayer. This is called worship. Let's pray. O Lord, we commune with thee every day, but weekdays are worldly days and secular concerns reduce heavenly impressions. We bless thee, therefore, for the day sacred to our souls, when we can wait upon thee and be refreshed. We thank thee for the institutions of religion, by use of which we draw near to thee and thou to us. We rejoice in another Lord's Day, when we call off our minds from the cares of the world and attend upon thee without distraction. Let our retirement be devout, our conversations edifying, our reading pious, our hearing profitable, that our souls may be quickened and elevated. We are going to the house of prayer. Pour upon us the spirit of grace and supplication. We are going to the house of praise. Awaken in us every grateful and cheerful emotion. We are going to the house of instruction. Give testimony to the word preached and glorify it in the hearts of all who hear. May it enlighten the ignorant, awaken the careless, reclaim the wandering, establish the weak, comfort the feeble-minded, make ready a people for their Lord. Be a sanctuary to all who cannot come. Forget not those who never come, and do thou bestow upon us benevolence towards our dependents, forgiveness towards our enemies, peaceableness towards our neighbors, and openness towards our fellow Christians. Amen. Sorry about the noise. I needed to shift a cord around there while I was reading. All right, our morning devotion for Spurgeon's Morning and Evening for September 24th. The text is from Ezra 8:22. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. A convoy on many accounts would have been desirable for the pilgrim band. but a holy shamefacedness would not allow Ezra to seek one. He feared lest the heathen king should think his professions of faith in God to be mere hypocrisy, or imagine that the God of Israel was not able to preserve his own worshippers. He could not bring his mind to lean on an arm of flesh in a matter so evidently of the Lord, and therefore the caravan set out with no visible protection, guarded by him who is the sword and shield of his people. It is to be feared that few believers feel this holy jealousy for God. Even those who in a measure walk by faith occasionally mar the luster of their life by craving aid from man. It is a most blessed thing to have no props and no buttresses, but to stand upright on the rock of ages, upheld by the Lord alone. Would any believers seek state endowments for their church if they remembered that the Lord is dishonored by their asking Caesar's aid? As if the Lord could not supply the needs of his own cause. Should we run so hastily to friends and relations for assistance if we remembered that the Lord is magnified by our implicit reliance upon his solitary arm? My soul, wait thou only upon God. But, says one, are not means to be used? Assuredly they are, but our fault seldom lies in their neglect. Far more frequently it springs out of foolishly believing in them instead of believing in God. Few run too far in neglecting the creature's arm, but very many sin greatly in making too much of it. Learn, dear reader, to glorify the Lord by leaving means untried, if by using them thou wouldst dishonor the name of the Lord. Amen. Well, well said. All right, well, our reading for today, we're continuing on in Isaiah, of course. So we're going to be starting up in Isaiah 43, verse 14, and read through to Isaiah 45, verse 10. We're going to be reading Ephesians 3, be reading the first 18 verses of Psalm 68, and we'll be reading verses 1 and 2 of Proverbs 24. So, Isaiah 43, verse 14. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says Yahweh, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon, and will bring down those who fled, all of them, even the Chaldeans, into the ships in which they shouted for joy. I am Yahweh, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says Yahweh, who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the military force and the mighty man. They will lie down together and not rise again. They have been extinguished and quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, nor carefully consider things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not know it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the wasteland. The beasts of the field will glorify me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I have given waters in the wilderness and rivers in the wasteland to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, will recount my praise. Yet you have not called on me, O Jacob, but you have become weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought to me the sheep of your burnt offerings, nor have you glorified me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with offerings, nor wearied you with frankincense. You have not brought me sweet cane with money, nor have you satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices. Rather, you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Bring me to remembrance. Let us enter into judgment together. Recount your cause, that you may be proved right. Your first father sinned, and your spokesmen have transgressed against me. So I will profane the princes of the sanctuary, and I will give Jacob to be devoted to destruction, and Israel to revilement. Isaiah 44. But now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says Yahweh, who made you, and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Do not fear, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour out water on the thirsty ground, and streams on the dry land. I will pour out my spirit on your seed, and my blessing on your offspring, and they will spring up among the grass, like poplars by streams of water. This one will say, I am Yahweh's, and this one will call on the name of Jacob, and this one will write on his hand, belonging to Yahweh, and will name Israel's name with honor. Thus says Yahweh, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, Yahweh of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last, and there is no God besides me. Who is like me? Let him call out and declare it, and let him tell it to me in order. From the time that I established the ancient people, and let them declare to them the things that are to come, and the events that are going to take place. Do not be in dread, and do not be afraid. Have I not long since caused it to be heard to you and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? Or is there any other flock? I know of none. Those who form a graven image are all of them futile, and their desirable things are of no profit. Even their own witnesses fail to see or know, so that they will be put to shame. Who has formed a god or cast a graven image to no profit? Behold, all his companions will be put to shame. The craftsmen themselves are mere men. Let them all assemble themselves. Let them stand up. Let them be in dread. Let them together be put to shame. The man crafts iron into a cutting tool and does his work over the coals, forming it with hammers and working it with his powerful arms. He also gets hungry and has no power. He drinks no water and becomes weary. Another crafts wood. He extends a measuring line. He outlines it with a stylus. He makes it with planes and outlines it with a compass and makes it like the form of a man, like the glory of man, so that it may sit in a house. In order to cut cedars for himself, he takes a cypress or an oak and raises it for himself among the trees of the forest. He plants a fir and the rain makes it grow. Then it becomes something for a man to burn, so he takes one of them and warms himself. He also kindles a fire to bake bread. He also works to produce a god and worships it. He makes it a graven image and falls down before it. Half of it he burns in the fire. Over this half he eats meat as he roasts a roast and is satisfied. He also warms himself and says, "Aha, I am warm, I have seen the fire." But the rest of it he makes into a god, his graven image. He falls down before it and worships. He also prays to it and says, "Deliver me, for you are my God." They do not know, nor do they understand, for he has smeared over their eyes so that they cannot see, and their hearts so that they will have no insight. No one causes this to return to his heart, nor is there knowledge or understanding to say, "I have burned half of it in the fire, and also have baked bread over its coals. I roast meat and eat it. Then I make the rest of it into an abomination. I fall down before a block of wood." He feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside, and he cannot deliver his soul, and he cannot say, "Is there not a lie in my right hand?" Remember these things, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I have formed you. You are my servant. O Israel, you will not be forgotten by me. I have wiped out your transgressions like a thick cloud, and your sins like a cloud. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Shout for joy, O heavens, for Yahweh has done it. Make a loud shout, you lower parts of the earth. Break forth into a shout of joy, you mountains, O forest and every tree in it. For Yahweh has redeemed Jacob, and in Israel he shows forth his beautiful glory. Thus says Yahweh, your Redeemer and the one who formed you from the womb. I, Yahweh, am the maker of all things, stretching out the heavens by myself and spreading out the earth all alone, causing the omens of boasters to be annulled and making fools out of diviners, causing wise men to turn back and making foolishness out of their knowledge, confirming the word of his servant and the counsel of his messengers he will complete, and being the one who says of Jerusalem, "She shall be inhabited," and of the cities of Judah, "They shall be built." And I will raise up her waste places again. It is I who says to the depth of the sea, "He dried up," and I will make your rivers dry. It is I who says of Cyrus, "He is my shepherd," and all my good pleasure he will complete, and saying of Jerusalem, "She will be built," and of the temple, "Your foundation will be laid." Isaiah 45, reading through to verse 10. Thus says Yahweh to Cyrus his anointed, whom I have taken hold of by his right hand to subdue nations before him, and to loose the loins of kings, to open doors before him so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the rough places smooth. I will shatter the doors of bronze and cut through their iron bars. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden wealth of secret places, so that you may know that it is I, Yahweh, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name. For the sake of Jacob my servant and Israel my chosen one, I have also called you by your name. I have given you a title of honor, though you have not known me. I am Yahweh, and there is no other. Besides me there is no God. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising to the setting of the sun that there is no one besides me. I am Yahweh and there is no other. The one forming light and creating darkness, producing peace and creating calamity. I am Yahweh who does all these. Drip down, O heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open up and salvation bear fruit, and righteousness spring up from it. I, Yahweh, have created it. Woe to the one who contends with his maker, an earthenware vessel among the vessels of earth. Will the clay say to the potter, what are you doing? Or the thing you are making say, he has no hands. Woe to him who says to a father, what are you begetting? Or to a woman, with what are you in labor pains? All right, Ephesians 3, and I need some coffee here real quick. All right. Ephesians 3. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, if indeed you heard of the stewardship of God's grace which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief, about which, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it was now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to proclaim to the Gentiles the good news of the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for all what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Therefore I ask you not to lose heart in my afflictions on your behalf, which are your glory. For this reason I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would give you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being firmly rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or understand, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. All right, Psalm 68, first 18 verses. For the choir director, a psalm of David, a song. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, and let those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish before God. But let the righteous be glad, let them exult before God, and let them rejoice with gladness. Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Lift up a song for him who rides through the deserts, whose name is Yah, and exult before him, a father of the fatherless and a judge for the widows. Is God in his holy habitation? God causes the lonely to inhabit a home. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity. Only the rebellious dwell in a parched land. O God, when you went forth before your people, when you marched through the wasteland, Selah, the earth quaked, the heavens also dripped rain at the presence of God. Sinai itself quaked at the presence of God, the God of Israel. You caused abundant rain to sprinkle down, O God. You established your inheritance when it was parched. Your creatures inhabited it. You established it in your goodness for the poor, O God. The Lord gives the word. The women who proclaim the good news are a great host. Kings of armies retreat. They retreat, and she who remains at home will divide the spoil. If you men lie down among the sheepfolds, you all would be like the wings of a dove covered with silver, and its pinions with glistening gold. When the Almighty dispersed the kings there, it was snowing in Zalmon. The mountain of God is the mountain of Bashan. A mountain of many peaks is the mountain of Bashan. Why do you look with envy, O mountains with many peaks, at the mountain which God has prized for his habitation? Surely Yahweh will dwell there forever. The chariots of God are myriads, thousands upon thousands. The Lord is among them as at Sinai in holiness. You have ascended on high. You have led captive your captives. You have received gifts among men, even among the rebellious also. The Yah God may dwell there. Finally, Proverbs 24, verses 1 and 2. Do not be jealous of evil men, and do not desire to be with them, for their heart meditates on destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. All right, well, that is our reading for the day. Our evening devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening for September 24th. The text is from Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs, as I prefer to call it, 5 verse 2. I sleep, but my heart waketh. Paradoxes abound in Christian experience, and here is one. The spouse was asleep, and yet she was awake. He only can read the believer's riddle who has plowed with the heifer of his experience. The two points in this evening's text are a mournful sleepiness and a hopeful wakefulness. I sleep. Through sin that dwelleth in us, we may become lax in holy duties, slothful in religious exercises, dull in spiritual joys, and altogether supine and careless. This is a shameful state for one in whom the quickening spirit dwells, and it is dangerous to the highest degree. Even wise virgins sometimes slumber. But it is high time for all to shake off the bands of sloth. It is to be feared that many believers lose their strength as Samson lost his locks while sleeping on the lap of carnal security. With a perishing world around us, to sleep is cruel. With eternity so near at hand, it is madness. Yet we are none of us so much awake as we should be. A few thunderclaps would do us all good, and it may be, unless we soon bestir ourselves, we shall have them in the form of war, or pestilence, or personal bereavements and losses. Oh, that we may leave forever the couch of fleshly ease, and go forth with flaming torches to meet the coming bridegroom. My heart waketh. This is a happy sign. Life is not extinct, though sadly smothered. When our renewed heart struggles against our natural heaviness, we should be grateful to sovereign grace for keeping a little vitality within the body of this death. Jesus will hear our hearts, will help our hearts, will visit our hearts, for the voice of the wakeful heart is really the voice of our beloved saying, "Open to me, holy zeal will surely unbar the door." O lovely attitude, he stands, with melting heart and laden hands. My soul forsakes her every sin and lets the heavenly stranger in. All right, well, that is our episode for today. I thank you for spending this time with me. I continue to pray that this time in the Word with me helps to keep you saturated in the Word of God. Of course, it should go along with your own reading and studying, so I would pray that you are doing those as well. And again, that's not really a request from God. That is a command. All right, well, I hope you have yourself a wonderful day. I hope if you haven't already worshiped with the saints, you will be doing so. That is a command too, not a request. I would continue to implore you to do all that you do for the glory of God, and I hope to see you Monday morning. Let's go ahead and close out with prayer. We're going to close out with the first day evening prayer. It's called the Teacher. Let's pray. O God, we bless thee, our creator, preserver, benefactor, teacher, for opening to us the volume of nature, where we may read and consider thy works. Thou hast this day spread before us the fuller pages of Revelation, and in them we see what thou wouldst have us do, what thou requirest of us, what thou hast done for us, what thou hast promised to us, what thou hast given us in Jesus. We pray thee for a conscious experience of his salvation, and our deliverance from sin, and our bearing his image, and our enjoying his presence, and our being upheld by his free spirit. Let us not live uncertain of what we are, of where we are going. Bear witness with our spirit that we are thy children, and enable each one to say, "I know my Redeemer." Bless us with a growing sense of this salvation. If already enlightened in Christ, may we see greater things. If quickened, may we have more abundant life. If renewed, let us go on from strength to strength. Give us closer abiding in Jesus, that we may bring forth more fruit, have a deeper sense of our obligations to him, that we may surrender all, have a fuller joy, that we may serve him more completely. And may our faith work by love towards him who died, towards our fellow believers, towards our fellow men. Amen. All right, again, I hope you have yourself a wonderful Sunday, and I hope to see you Monday morning. Have a good day. God bless.